Matthew chapter 6 this morning in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 6, we'll read verses 9 through 13. I'll give you a second to find it. Once you've found Matthew chapter number 6, please stand for the reading of God's Word. I'll begin reading in verse number 9, if you'll join me on the even verses, 10 and 12. We'll read Matthew 6, 9 through 13 this morning. The Bible says in verse number 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And let's pray for the service. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we've already heard this morning, how our hearts have been moved by the music. We pray that you would bless the preaching now, that you would help us to listen, to pay attention, to get something from the message. I ask that you would be with the speaker. Just fill them with your words, with your Holy Spirit. Give us the ears to hear and the hearts to receive your word this morning. In your name we pray it. Amen.
Singing this morning, and for y'all being with us, we're grateful. Now, we were in this passage of Scripture last Sunday morning. I'm going to tag on to where we left off. We'll do just a quick review. If you were not here last Sunday, visiting today, we'll just hook on real quick and take off. Probably be in this passage at least one or two more Sunday mornings as the Lord leads. But I'm speaking on the subject of Prayer 101. Prayer 101, this is part two of what we started last week out of this passage. So let's ask God to be with us now as we get into the message for a few minutes. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here this morning, to fellowship together, to hear the good music, to be encouraged by song. But Lord, I pray now that you'll take the Scripture, your holy inspired word, and do with it what you only can do. Holy Spirit, would you please fill me? Would you help me? Would you give us all an ear to listen today and learn so that we may better know how to pray and talk to you. And we'll thank you, God, for helping us. In Jesus' name I pray and ask. And amen. We learned last week that Jesus expected his followers to pray. One of the things I pointed out in last Sunday's message is that in chapter number 6, Jesus never said, if you pray. Rather, he said, when you pray. So it wasn't a matter of being an optional thing. Jesus expected that those who love him and follow him would spend some time in prayer. He said, when ye pray. We also learned that Jesus expected his followers to pray with consistency. He said in this prayer here, this model prayer in chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, he used this terminology, I think it is in verse number 11, give us this day our daily bread. Well, obviously, folks, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if we're praying this day for our daily bread, then we got to pray again tomorrow for that day's daily bread, and the day after for that day, and the day after for that day. What he's talking about here is a manner of consistency. It's as normal for a child of God to want to speak to his heavenly Father as it is for a boy to speak to his daddy in the home, for the daddy to speak to the boy, for the husband to speak to the wife, and the wife to speak to the husband. It's as normal and natural as that. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here. And then he said, after I expect my followers to pray, and after I expect them to pray with some consistency, he gave us a model prayer or an outline of prayer. God never intended for this thing to be just a memorized, rote, heartless, mindless, insincere repetition. Okay, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, which means nothing to anybody other than just makes everybody feel real religious because we said the Lord's Prayer, which it really isn't the Lord's Prayer, it's our prayer. He said in verse number 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So this is our prayer. So this is not just this is not a verbatim thing. This is a manner. This is an outline of praying. You see, he gave us something to pray. He told us what to pray about. Okay? And I hope this past week that you made a serious effort to talk to your Father in heaven. I hope the circuits to heaven were overloaded with numbers of people talking to God day after day. You know, the tornado came through Oklahoma this past Monday. And our daughter-in-law's parents live in Oklahoma. And so it was of concern to us when we heard that it was in Oklahoma City. And so I had my wife, I said, call Cheryl Finn and see if they're okay. But she couldn't get through because all the circuits were busy, tied up, and the phone service was not good down there where the tornado went through near Oklahoma City. But I'm glad to tell you, friend, no matter how many people get on the line to heaven, the circuits are never overloaded, okay? Everybody has their own personal line. Everybody has their own personal opportunity. And I hope that you exercised that this week. Hope you thought about this matter of talking to your Father in heaven. Now, as Jesus taught us, we should begin our prayer by recognizing to whom we are speaking and where he resides. We talked about this last Sunday. He said in verse number 9, our Father which art in heaven. Now, friend, that's a marvelous thing. Our Father, yet in heaven. In heaven and yet our Father. That is a wonderful, wonderful privilege that you and I have of speaking to the God of all creation who put it all together and who holds it all together and yet expects us to address him by the endearing term of Father. What a blessing. Now, I do want to say this morning. Remember, not everybody can address God as Father. Now, that's a false teaching that's trumpeted in many denominational pulpits across the world. That everybody is a child of God. And because everybody is a child of God, God is everybody's Father. But that's not what the Bible teaches. You can only call God Father if you have been born into His family. I have a son-in-law and daughter up in Elgin. Most of you folks know that. Jason and Hannah live up there. And when I teach at the college on Thursday, many times, not every week, but often I'll slip by the place where they live, or she'll come over and we'll spend a few minutes together with her and the boys that are not in school. Max is in school, Kyle and Ian at home. And sometimes I go by the house and drop something off and stay just for a few minutes. And Max is in school. Kyle is there. Ian's just a baby. He's not talking yet. But they call me Paw. That's what they call me. And Hannah watches one of her nephews, little boy, one of her nephews named Patrick. That's his name, okay? And so Patrick is there occasionally on a Thursday when I go by. And I go in and I howdy with Kyle a little bit and talk to Patrick some. And then Kyle will refer to me. He'll call me Paw. Hey, Paw. And then Patrick will say, Paw. And then Kyle looks at Patrick and says, he's not your Paw. And he talks with a lisp right now. He's not your Paw. And technically, he's not. Now, I don't tell Patrick that. I don't treat him mean. But technically, I'm not Patrick's Paw because he's not one of my child's children. He's not my grandchild. So technically, Kyle is right. He's not your Paw. And I want to say technically this morning that the God of all creation looks down from heaven. And I'm sorry to tell you, if you've never been born into his family, he's not your father. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. In fact, Jesus, you know, he was pretty succinct, and he kind of said it pretty bluntly to the Pharisees and some of the religious people who were lost. He looked at them and he said, you know what? Ye are of your father, the devil. So it's God is not everybody's father. Jesus said in John chapter 3, three different times, that you had to be born again. You have to be born again to see heaven. You have to be born again to enter heaven. And Jesus said, you must be born again. One time, you're born into God's family, you can see and enter heaven, and God becomes your father. Until you're born again, he's not your father. He is your God. Now listen to me. You don't want to stand before him as God someday, because he'll be your judge. You want to stand before him someday. You want to stand before Jesus someday because you've been born into God's family and God is your father and you have eternal life in heaven. But along with that is the opportunity in this life to address God as Father. And that's a term of endearment, a term of security, a term of stability. And Jesus taught us that's how we begin our prayer time. And hopefully this week, after last Sunday's message, as you woke up in the morning, before Fox News and before the ESPN scores and before Wall Street, before any of that, before as a child of God, hopefully this past week, the first thing you did in the morning, no matter what where you had to go, you started immediately in a conversation with your Father. Dear Father. Father. And that's how Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, after that greeting, or after that salutation, Jesus gave us three petitions that we ought to consider or make or think about when we have our prayer time talking to our Father. Look at what he said at the end of verse number 9. Here's your salutation. Our Father, which art in heaven. Heavenly Father, God, Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good night rest. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you this morning. Then he said to say, hallowed be thy name. So Jesus taught us to be sure we recognize that our Father not only lives in heaven, but that he is also holy. And it does us good when we pray to recognize that our Father is heavenly and he is also holy. And that's what the word hallowed means, friend. Hallowed means consecrated. It means set apart. It means holy. Now, I was thinking about that situation this week. You know, my relationship, my dad was here last Sunday morning, and because of Leah's graduation, and stayed. They left on Tuesday to go back to Florida. And it was great to be with my dad and mom again. Always enjoy that time. My relationship with my dad has changed and evolved over the years. As a boy, and I think everybody, every man here especially can relate to this. As a boy, you know, I was always the son. I was a young boy, age-wise, 6, 8, 10. And I would speak to my dad in terms of respect and admiration. And I would speak with him from the perspective of an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old. And then time went by and I became a young adult. And the perspective changes. I don't lose my respect. I don't lose my reverence for my dad. But I am now speaking to him from the perspective of a young adult. I'm not speaking to him as an 8-year-old boy anymore. I'm not speaking to him as a 10-year-old child. I'm speaking to my dad from the perspective of a young adult who's now married, got a child or two of his own, and beginning to make his way into adulthood. And I talk to my dad from that perspective. It's almost like it almost becomes like a friend level. It's a great thing when father and son are friends. Great thing. And now, you know, I'm 56 years old. I've been married for almost 34 years, 6 kids, 7 grandchildren, been in the ministry for almost 33 years, I guess it is now, and established in my own calling of God on my life. I still respect my dad. I still reverence him. But you know, when he and I talk, it's from a different perspective now. I'm a middle-aged adult. I don't speak to him from the perspective of an 8-year-old. I don't speak to him from the perspective of a 24-year-old new husband and daddy, if you would. I speak to him from the perspective that I am at age 56. And if I could say it this way without causing any disrespect to my dad, it's more on a peer level. You know, my dad got married. Now I'm married. My dad had children. I have children. My dad has grandchildren. I have grandchildren. And so now it's almost, even though he's 20 years my elder, it's almost like we're on a peer level. But I want to say something to you, friend. Listen very carefully. I think everybody can identify with what I'm saying this morning from that moment, okay? But when it comes to speaking with my Heavenly Father, there will never be anything close to a peer level perspective. And yes, He wants me to approach Him boldly, but even in boldness, there ought always be this ton of respect, this ton of reverence, this ton of awe that goes along with realizing that I will never be on a peer level with my Heavenly Father. I'll always be that little boy who needs to talk to his dad. Hallowed be thy name. Holy be your name. You're holy, you're hallowed, you're special. You know, I'm not going to throw a fit this morning. I don't have time to do that. I got so much I want to give you. But, you know, there's so much that just goes hand in hand with this contemporary emergent church type business. And it's becoming so popular in our country today. And I want to tell you something, friend. It's not just the music. It's not just the whole casual approach to Christianity that is becoming so prevalent. It really kind of overlaps into the very attitude about God. I've been in places where some of these young contemporary pastors at weddings or funerals maybe, and their prayer, they're almost talking to God like He's a buddy. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell you something. Yes, God loves me, and God loves you. But friend, He's far more than just a buddy. Lord, you know, God, yeah, you know, it looks like it's going to cloud up and rain, God, and God, you know, if you have any time, could you take care of this for me? I heard a guy pray like that one time. If you're not too busy, could you take care of this rain? Now, you know what? I might approach Brother Caleb and say, Brother Caleb, if you're not too busy, can you stop by and see Brother so-and-so in the hospital? Brother Luke, if you're not too busy, can you make this visit for me? Can you call this person? I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to go to the Father that sits on the throne room in heaven and talk to Him like He's my buddy. Y'all with me this morning? There's a reverence. I'm going to tell you something, friend. This emergent church thing, it just creeps its way. The attitude creeps its way into all facets of the Christian life. No, you don't approach God that way. You approach God the Father. You talk to the Father and you, Lord, God, Father, thank you for today and thank you for the privilege to talk to you. And yes, we have access and yes, we have authority and yes, we have privilege, but we ought never, ever forget that we are sinners saved by grace with the unbelievable opportunity to speak personally with a very holy, heavenly Father. When Isaiah looked up into the throne room of heaven, he heard the cherubim saying, Holy, holy, holy. And from the Isle of Patmos, 800 years later, when John the Apostle looked up into heaven, 800 years later, those same cherubim were circling around the throne of God. Holy, holy, holy. And it does us good when we start our prayer time to recognize not only to whom we are speaking and where He resides, but the fact that He is a holy Heavenly Father. Hallowed be Thy name. I don't know what it does for you, friend, but I know for me, when I get to prayer, when I get to prayer time and get to talk to the Father, it puts me in a mind to recognize real quick, whoa, this is an unbelievable privilege to speak to the Heavenly Holy Father in heaven. Now, He told us to pray, hallowed be Thy name. I'm going somewhere with all this. Look at verse number 10. Look at the second thing He told us to pray after the greeting or the salutation. He said in verse number 10 that we ought to say to the Father, Thy kingdom come. A brief sentence that expresses a desire for the Father to set up the kingdom. Now, I understand that Matthew is written as a gospel that presents Jesus as the King of the Jews. And first and foremost, on the minds of saved Jews, is the coming kingdom of Christ, their Messiah, the coming kingdom of God. But remember, folks, that these are not just words. These are heartfelt, sincere attitudes that Jesus expected us to express when we talk to our Father in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. I recognize Your character. I reverence You and respect You and count it an unbelievable privilege to be in Your presence. Father, I'm looking forward to the day that Your kingdom comes. Now, you know why Jesus, I think, taught us to pray with this attitude? I think because first and foremost, in the mind of every child of God, ought to be God's kingdom. Somehow, some way, the advancement of God's honor, the advancement of God's glory, the advancement of God's power, the advancement of God's purposes needs to be placed over our own agenda, over our own interests. And that will happen in full when His kingdom comes. And I'm going to skip some of what I wanted to say this morning about the kingdom of God. But as God's people, we ought to desire His kingdom. I'll tell you this, friend, it will be a wonderful kingdom. When His kingdom is set up, the curse of sin will be removed from the earth. There will be some things that we have never before experienced that will be normal in the kingdom of God. No weeds, no thorns, no survival of the fittest in the animal kingdom. But you know what the greatest thing about the kingdom of God is? Not what is in store for us. The greatest thing about the kingdom of God is what's in store for Him. Him. He will be honored. And He will be glorified. And He will be praised. And He will be exalted. And He will be worshipped. And He will be hallowed as He has never been before on earth. During that time, Jesus will sit on the throne of His Father there in the city of Jerusalem and rule and reign. And it will be a wonderful time where God will receive everything He is deserving to receive. And you know what? We ought to be anticipating that wonderful time when His kingdom comes, not so much for our sake as for His. You know what? Some of you that have been here over the years, you recall, we had the opportunity, my brothers and I, oh goodness, how many years ago now? 7 years ago, to plan a 50th wedding anniversary celebration for my dad and mom. And it was a wonderful time. Oh, we had a great time. We had a great time talking about it. We had a great time planning it. And you'll remember that my brother Tim was, he purchased my dad a Cadillac. And we got to drive it down there. And you know, we were looking forward. Of course, Tom was alive at that time. And all of Tim's family was coming. And all of my family was coming. And all of Tom's family was coming. And we were anticipating the opportunity of being together as a family. We were looking forward to getting together and being together with the nieces and nephews. The cousins were looking forward to being together. We knew we would fellowship. We knew we would laugh. We knew we would eat. Oh, yes, that's a good part of getting together. We knew all that. All of that. But you know the greatest thing about planning that 50th anniversary was not anticipating what we were going to enjoy. The greatest thing about planning that anniversary thing was anticipating what they were going to enjoy. We could see the smiles on their faces. I tried to anticipate, what is it going to be like the moment that we present a Cadillac to Dad and Mom? What's his face going to do? I say we very generously, because Tom and I, you know, I tell people we bought the little air freshener that hung over the rear view mirror, you know, but Tim, he didn't hog the spotlight. He's that kind of guy. And, you know, I tried to anticipate, what's it going to be like? And we planned an evening of testimonies and stories and remembrances. And you know what? You know what the real fun part of that whole thing was? Anticipating what Mom was going to feel like, anticipating what Dad was going to feel like, anticipating what they were going to feel like as we honored them, and just anticipating how much they would enjoy it. And friend, you know what? Yes, the kingdom of God is going to be wonderful when you and I get to participate in it and be a part of it. It'll be wonderful for us, but I'm going to tell you something. It's not only going to be wonderful for us, it's going to be wonderful for Him. Yes, it is. And that's what Jesus, thy kingdom come. God, we are anticipating. Father, we are anticipating the day when your kingdom will come. So he said, when you start your prayer time, just recognize hallowed be thy name and thy kingdom come. And then the third thing he taught us to say in verse number 10, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now that's interesting. He taught us to pray or desire the Father's will on earth just as it is done in heaven. Now, I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question. I'll answer it. Who reigns in heaven? Well, the Father does. The Father reigns in heaven. Whose will is done in heaven? The Father's will is done in heaven. So what Jesus taught us to pray is this. Father, rule and reign on earth today like you do in heaven. Now, let me ask you a question. You think that's going to happen in Washington, D.C.? You think that's going to happen in Moscow, Russia? You think that's going to happen in the village of Bourbonnais? Where God's will is carried out on earth like it is in heaven? You think that's going to happen in Kankakee? I'm told to pray that today. Today, this morning. Father, will your will please be done today on earth as it is in heaven? Friend, as best as I can understand this, there is only one place where I can make sure the will of God is done today as it is in heaven. You know what that is? My life. There's only one place you can make sure that the will of God is done on earth today as it is in heaven, and that's in your life. And this is exactly what Jesus taught us to pray. He taught us to start the day off by saying to the Father, Father, would you please help me to obey you today? I trust, Lord, that your will be accomplished in my life today. Father, I give you the throne. It is yours. Please be seated on the throne of my heart. Rule and reign from the throne of my heart. Your will be done in my life today. I want to tell you something, friend. That will change our day. That'll change our day. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Only one of three people is going to sit on the throne of your heart. Satan, self, or the sovereign God. Satan, self, or the sovereign God. I'm going to tell you something. When Satan, I don't mean possesses me, but when I let his influences rule from the throne of my life, I can have a terrible time. And when I let self rule in my life, I have a terrible time. But when I give the throne of my heart over to the sovereign Father of heaven, my life will be lived according to his plan. Father, I give you the throne of my heart. Would you reign and would you rule in my marriage today? Would you rule and would you reign in my parenting today? Would you please rule and reign in my school today? Would you rule and reign in my work? Would you rule and reign in my spirit, my attitude? Would you rule and reign in my finances? Would you rule and reign in everything that I do? Call the shots, give the orders, lay out the game plan. I am asking for you, Father, to sit on the throne of my heart and rule in my life today. Brother, you talk about a change of day. That's what Jesus told us to pray. God's will being carried out in my life today. God's will being carried out in your life today. How that would change our day. Now, folks, these are all things that Jesus... Remember we started off last week talking about, have you ever had an appointment with somebody and you were a little bit anxious about it because you just weren't really sure what to say? And you were a little bit even maybe nervous about what to say? And Jesus took all the anxiety, Jesus took all the anxiousness out of our prayer time by telling us this is what you ought to say to the Father. You don't have to say it verbatim. You don't have to repeat it. But in the course of beginning your day, pray. That's what the followers of God do. The followers of Christ pray. And they pray consistently. And they pray, our Father, our Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are and where you sit. And thank you for your holiness. And thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. We look forward to the day that you rule and reign on planet Earth and all that you deserve comes to you. Would you please rule and reign in my life today? Are you afraid to give the rule to Him? Don't be afraid to give the rule to Him, friend. He's not a hard taskmaster. He is a loving Heavenly Father. He'll bless you. Now, folks, look at this. Look at what we have talked about this morning. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. He expects us to pray and to do it consistently and in order to take away the awkwardness and the anxiety. And again, I have talked to people inviting them to our Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study. And it's like, I don't know what to say. Am I going to have to stand up and pray publicly? No. We get up and we get into two groups of two or three. But we ought not to be anxious about what to say to our Heavenly Father. And because we may not know what to say, Jesus says, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven. And then He said this. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. You say, I thought we prayed for our benefit. It's not all about us. You know who benefits from our prayer time? He does. It's not all about my needs. It's not all about my wants. It's not all about my relatives who are sick and my family that needs this and my job that needs better pay and my car that needs to get improved and my house that needs to get bigger and my clothes that need to get nicer and my health that needs to get better. Prayer is not just all about us. It's about Him. It's for Him. It's to Him. It's about Him. Your kingdom come. Your name be hallowed. Your will be done. God, it's You we're interested in. You know what prayer is, friend? Prayer is our opportunity to express our heart for God. God, I pray that today Your name will be hallowed, lifted up high in my life. I pray that Your will be done. And I look forward to the day that You rule and reign on this earth. Father, I look forward to the day when Your will is accomplished in everybody's life and You receive the glory You deserve. That's not for me, friend. That's for Him. That's why it's important to pray. That's why it's important to pray every day. A consistent, fervent time of prayer where we don't just go and repeat some words verbatim, but it comes from the heart. You know what prayer is? Prayer is worship. It's worship. It's taking a few minutes, preferably at the beginning of the day, to speak with our Father in heaven. And it's really, friend, more for His honor and His glory than for our needs and our wants. Now He lets us do that. And that comes later on in the prayer. But friend, when He taught us to start praying, as we begin the prayer, it's not about us. It's about Him. When you call the folks, if they live a distance away, when you call the folks, How does your prayer usually start? Your conversation usually start out with them? Hey, Dad, how you doing? Hey, Mom, how you doing? How's Mom? How's Dad? How's it going? Doing all right? You feeling good? It's all about them. And friend, when you and I start our prayer time, somehow, some way, we've got to get out of this thing that prayer is all about me and prayer is all for me. And prayer is just my little way of saying to God, I need you to do this and I need you to do that. And I need you to do this. Prayer is a time to worship the very God of heaven, who is my heavenly Father. And I get the opportunity to speak to Him. And I want Him to know that I am concerned, that I know His name is holy, and I want His will to be done in my life. And I'm looking forward to the day when He rules and reigns from the throne. And Father, before I speak to you about me, let me speak to you about you. You know what that is, friend? That's a God first consciousness. That's a God first. And I'm going to tell you something, pal. Anytime we put God first, we're in for a good day. A good day. Let me ask you a question. Are you praying? Are you praying? I don't know what to say. Well, Jesus taught us what to say. Are you praying? Is it prayer like this? Dear God, I need this. I need that. I need that. I. Is that all it is? Jesus taught us when you begin to pray, it's not about you. It's about Him. And you talk to God, your Father, who sits on the throne of heaven. You talk to your Father about His name, His kingdom, and His will. That He gets glory, that He gets honor, that He gets praise, that He gets exalted, that He gets what He deserves from my life, from your life today. That's what He taught us to pray. I hope this coming week, when you, as I said last Sunday, when you swing your bed, your leg out of the bed and hits the floor at the house, you know what? I understand there's a million things pressing on your mind. But friend, you'll never have a better day than when you just learn and get in the habit of the first few minutes turning your attention toward your Father, which is in heaven, and talking to Him as you start today. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Before I get to the couple, three questions, let me just say it's important that we learn the habit of being consistent in a talk with God. How are you doing? Did you do any better this past week than you did before because of the message last Sunday? Let me just ask that question this morning. I'm going to say, Pastor, my prayer time was more consistent or more real to me this past week than it was a week ago. And I'm not asking just to raise your hand to be counted. I'm not asking that at all. I mean, really, sincerely, there were some things that I thought about this week when it came to prayer time that I didn't think about before last Sunday's message. It helped me last week to have a better prayer life with the Father. Would you raise your hand if that was you this week? God bless you. I appreciate that. Amen. That's wonderful. All right. Who would say, I listened to you this morning, Pastor. Listen to the message. And I understand prayer time is not all about me. And the truth of the matter is, that's how my prayer begins. My prayer begins with, I need, I want, I've got to have, I need this, God, please help me. I need to turn my attention to worship. Worshiping Him, realizing it's not all about me, it's about Him. Pray for me, Pastor, that I can incorporate that type of attitude. Yes, I see the hands already. Would you raise your hand and pray for you this morning? Pray that I can incorporate that kind of spirit in prayer time. God bless you. I appreciate anybody else this morning. Please pray for me about that. I'll do that. God bless you. I see your hand. Amen. Now, let me ask this question. How many would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. I can call God by the term of Father because I've been born to Him. I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand? If you're saved and you know it, you got saved. All right. Thank you. May take your hand down. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I don't know if I've ever been born again into God's family. I'm not sure about that. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand, please, wherever you're seated, front to back, side to side. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody concerned about that this morning? You can't call God Father unless you've been born into His family. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Just slip it up right back down. All right, very good. Anybody here this morning would say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism yet and identified with Christ. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I like that this morning. I haven't yet done that. All right, God bless you. If you know you need to be baptized and you want to obey the Lord, be obedient to Him, then while we have our heads bowed and eyes closed, you can come right now from where you're seated, and we'll get you ready for baptism while we wait this morning. If anybody needs to do that, if you want to talk to one of these men about getting baptized, you can do that while we wait. Now this morning, if you know that you've been saved and baptized, you know this is the place where God wants you to become a member, you've talked to one of us about it, you could come this morning, and we'll be happy to have you join the church, as we said, all right, during the invitation time. My Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege to preach this morning, and I pray that you'll help us to pray according to how Jesus taught us. And I pray that we'll understand, Father, it's not all about us. It's about you. It's about your name, your kingdom, and your will. It's about your glory, your honor. Father, help us to pray. You expected the disciples, the followers of Christ, to pray. Help us to follow through with it this week. May the phone lines and circuits to heaven be very busy from this area of the country in the days ahead, I pray. Bless any here that need to be saved or baptized or join the church to make the right decision for the honor of God. We'll thank you for it. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, you play us a song. The altar is open for you to come and pray. You raised a hand. The altar is open for you to come and be saved. The altar is open for you to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you want to be obedient to Christ in that way, you step out and come right now while we're waiting. We'd love to have you do that. Or join the church. Be baptized, whatever God wants you to do this morning while we wait.